Well, good morning, everyone. A lot of us had definitely a crazy week in the last week, but we made it through, and hopefully you did too, and now we sit on Father's Day, right? So hopefully one of these, June is always a rough month for us because after Memorial Day weekend and Father's Day, and we have those kind of things going on, and it's vacation weeks, and people take their time, which is good, but we'll get through that, and we'll get back to some normal numbers, I'm sure, but we're here today, and we want to continue to worship the Lord through His Word, but I want to share some things with you today that wondering why in the world is our family, the family unit today is all messed up. Look in the mirror. Look at your family, and you got some messed up characters. Got some messed up grandpas. Got some messed up aunts and uncles, and maybe some kids. Got messed up mom and dads. Yup, right. And we have to be careful because we got to look in the mirror and look at ourselves first, right? You know how it is. As my grandmother says. I could talk about my family, but nobody else can, you know. So there's that kind of thing there. But believe me, there are people talking about your family. My hope that it is a good thing. I hope that they talk positive about your family. But sometimes people think certain people are really good and they're great, but you know things that they don't know because you know the family secret. You got family secrets? You got family secrets? Yeah. But I want to share with you, God's Word is so amazing. He helps you through all kinds of things. Spiritual warfare helps you through how to deal with sin. He helps you through and then lets you know that He loves you, that He sent His Son Jesus to redeem a lost world to Himself through salvation through Christ. All those awesome things. But God also talks a lot about family. God also talks about some things we're going to talk about today that we need to learn from our past. We need to learn from our past. You can change your friends, but you can't change the bloodline, right? Okay? You can change your friends, and we've done that, but you cannot change your bloodline. If you're a Smith, you're a Smith. You may change the last name, but that blood still runs through your family. So today I want to share with you in the book of Psalms here in 78, as we're going to talk about what it's that just the lessons here. We're talking about the lessons of Israel's past, how to teach your family, how to teach your children about the problems of your family. See, today not everyone can think positive about their father. Some people today, their fathers like mine, Carlos, have passed on and went to be with the Lord. So not all of us have our fathers here today, as we call them, Dad's Father's Day. But we have that one father who's always with us. Amen? And he is a perfect father. So I want to share with you today just how that works and how we're going to learn a little bit about how to work through that, because nobody likes to throw out their junk in front of other people. Nobody has to throw out their family problems in front of other people. But sometimes people find out. But God knows about all of it. Okay? So here we go in chapter 78 of the book of Psalms. Begins with this, verse 1. My people, hear my instruction. Listen to what I say. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, the things we have heard and known, and that our fathers have passed down to us. We must not hide them from their children, but must tell a future generation the praises of the Lord, His might, and wonderful works that He has performed. We cannot hide Jesus from our children. We cannot do that. We cannot afford to do that. Some of you may be single today. I want to remind you that if you have salvation and you are just for everyone, I want to remind you that there could be some people that have prayed for your salvation that in your family that you've never met. That could be hundreds of years down through the past bloodline. And we'll cover that here and few. But also, there are those who are single today saying, well, I don't have children. I don't. Listen, you should be a responsible Christian that others look at you and should be able to follow the way that you live as well. We should be representing Jesus Christ, regardless whether you're a parent or not. But here we find out we must not hide Jesus from our children. We must not hide Jesus from our family children. We should not do that. We should be sharing the gospel with them. Because once we became a Christian, we should be sharing the ways that we should be living, but also be sharing the things of the past. We also need to be sharing what God has done for us to our children. It's good to teach children that God does answer prayer. Let me tell you a prayer that He's answered for me. We should be teaching our children about those things, about what God has done for our family. But we don't. Most of us don't. We struggle with that. And we wonder why our kids go astray. We learn from the past. Why? So not to repeat the past. Okay? We don't want to repeat the past. He goes on, he says, verse 5, He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that a future generation, listen to this, children yet to be born might know they are to rise and tell their children, so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget the works, but keep His commandments. We are called to teach our children God's way. They're going to learn about the world's way. Don't expect the world to teach your children the things of God. Actually, they're teaching against the things of God. So our battle for teaching our children and our grandchildren is getting harder because the world is speaking very loudly. And they pull the children into a direction. Now they want to teach them all kinds of things in elementary school. It's amazing. They know the key. If you can reach that young generation, then you got the future generation. They're smart. Church has got to get back to that. We have to get back to that. Or we're falling into the same place of the Israelites, forgetting. And we'll talk about that as well. But we are called to teach our children the things of God. That means when we're at home, we should be praying at dinner time. If it's the one meal you get together, breakfast is a crazy, chaotic time. Everybody's trying to go their own direction. Thank God I don't have that anymore. But you that raise the young ones, mornings are a circus and a fair all in one, right? And kids can have meltdowns, all kinds of stuff. You're trying just to get through the morning, get everybody where they need to go. But in the evening, I know sometimes, let me just tell you one thing. I'm not trying to parent your kids, but I'm just telling you, make sure you don't get your kids involved with every single thing. Because if they do, they're going to miss the best thing. Time with family. Today there's a lot of campers packing up. They've already packed up. They got a ball game here about 1:00. It's called travel ball. Travel ball is one of the most expensive things to get involved with. People buy $80,000, $200,000 campers for a kid for 4 years. They put it in their family. They're going to drive around. They're going to watch this kid play ball, thinking they're going to go pro, thinking they're going to go do this. And the odds of that are very, very slim. But they go out there and do that, claim to be a Christian, not really getting involved with the Lord, and they fall away. And then their kids, they don't know what happened. They invested everything they got into their kids in the wrong direction. Teaching them these things, but not teaching them life skills, biblical life skills. There's a difference between world life skills, and we need to know how to tie our shoes. We need to do those things, but we need to go by God's word. And these people, they knew it, but they forgot. They knew it, and they weren't teaching their children. So we have to teach our children God's ways. We also have to be concerned about the children that are not yet born in our family. You that are looking to have children in the future, you need to be praying for your children right now. You may not see them, but you pray for them right now. You pray for them right now. You pray, you plant seeds right now. When Carla was pregnant, I was praying for our children even when they were in the womb. Continue to pray for them when they were growing up, but also continue to pray for them even when they flew out of the nest. And you pray a whole different way there. But you got to pray for them. And I'll tell you all this. I don't just pray for them. I also pray for my future children in the family, the future children in the bloodline. The ones that I'm not going to meet. But if I can have an influence on them, my great, great, great grandchildren I'll never meet because I'm never going to live that old. I can have an influence on that generation if I take the time now and pray for them. And I do that. And I'm going to continue to do that. But we miss it. We have one life. We have one go around this world. So you need to pray for your kids as kids. But also your kids, kids, kids. You need to pray for them. You need to teach them the Lord's way. We need to share what God has done for them. What God has done for us. So it says, if we are to do that, there's blessings that come with that. Let's move on. He says, verse 8, he says, then they would, here we go. Then, this is the downfall part. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. These are the family members in the past that rebelled against God and they weren't following Him and they weren't living right like a lot of us. We claim to know Him in word only. Many of us claim to know Him, but in word only. And I believe our children reflect that. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have a family that loves the Lord, and you can be praying for them. You can do that. Sometimes you just have rebellious children. Sometimes you just have rebellious children. We do not live in a perfect world. But here we find out that this is the family members. These are the Israelite family members who just refused to do anything God's way. They went out and chased their own path. And when you make your own path, you will leave a wave of destruction behind you. And what happens is that person doesn't want to follow Christ anymore. They don't. And then they have children and they don't want to follow Christ. And then here's what happens. Addictions begin. Criminal activity begins. Dark secrets in the families begin. Abuse begins. Physical, mental abuse. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen in the families that follow God, but I'm telling you, the families that follow God have a lot less of it usually. Okay? And if they have it in their family, I can say that person right there has rebellion. And then and Scripture says, rebellion to the Lord is the same as witchcraft. Basically, I'm just refusing to do it God's way. I refuse to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. When you choose to do it your way, and listen to me, some of the things that's going on in the world says it's okay. Well, God doesn't need the world's stamp of approval. He's not ever going to ask the world for their approval. God is final approval. Okay? Okay? So, we see the Israelites were just messing up. Some of them were messing up, but he goes in verse 10. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by His law. They didn't want to go by the guidelines and the laws that God has. They forgot what He had done, the wonderful works He had shown them. What they did was they forgot their testimonies. The testimony is, this is what God has done for me. God has shown that He has done something for me. And this I'm going to talk about what God has done in my life. How God answered prayer, how God moved in my life. This is the testimonies that I'm sharing, the stories about what God and how God has moved in my life. And let me give you a warning. If you're living in sin, your testimonies are not real. I'm just going to tell you, the testimony, well, God did this, he got, no. It's not what you say here. It's what you acknowledge here. I hope you understood what I was saying. I'm just going to share a couple of things what has happened here. I'm going to spin through these here real quick. He split the sea, and he split the sea, the Red Sea. Remember, they came through the Red Sea. He led them by the cloud by day and the fire by night. He did that. He split the rocks for water. He brought down, he did all kinds of miracles in front of these people. He brought in meat, all this quail, all this stuff that he's done. And they forgot. They forgot what he has done. There's an amazing piece in the scripture that pops out to me. Because what it is God did so much that he brought something out of heaven. It's the only time we see anything physical, really, that comes into heaven that man can touch. And here it is. He says that in verse 24, he says, he rained manna for them to eat. And he gave them grain from heaven. Listen to this part. People ate the bread of angels. People, that's where manna is. Manna is food for angels. God allowed that to fall from heaven, from the skies, to feed the people of Israel when they were out in the deserts and they were out there moving and heading toward the promised land. He fed them with the food of angels. You think that's a testimony? They forgot. This is why people always say, if God would move the rock, if God would do this, if God would do that, I'd follow. No, you wouldn't. I tell the people, no, you wouldn't. There's people that have saw so much more, walked on the Red Sea when the walls were water on both sides, and they praised God for it, but they had their next moment, and they just forget about it. And they say, let's go back to Egypt. You see, some people just want to live in a pig pen. You know, it's a small group here today, so I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or anything, but our program and our ministries, our transitional homes, you have to come to church. And I pray that it's not just that you feel like you have to, but I pray that, I feel like, knowing in the beginning, sometimes it is, oh, we got to, but I pray that it actually connects where they actually want to. It's a part of the program because I believe that God's Word, we believe that God's Word really changes lives. It's not really me. It's not really you. God uses us in classes and things like that. But it is God's words that change. And when a person really follows God, follows and steps in and really does and really wants to worship, then lives can be changed that way. I've heard so many, you know, just over the past that I don't want to go or whatever. That's fine. But it's part of our program. Here's what I know, and listen to me, guys, really, ladies, listen to me really good. Listen to me really well. If my heart breaks, it breaks over one thing. I'm sick of seeing people going back to the pig pen. Oh, I got a plan. I got this guy. I got this girl. I got this idea. I got this, and none of it ever involves God. And if it does, what they're doing is saying, God, get on my plan, because this is the gravy train I'm going to. And God's not going to get on that plan. And what happens is, listen, you work to get your kids back, and you lose them again. That just tore me up this last week. You work so hard to get your kids back, and you turn around, and you lose them again because you can't stop doing the junk in your life. You can't quit. Let me tell you, you can never quit on your own. And it isn't about a bunch of steps. It's about getting your life right with Jesus Christ. And that's the problem with the Israelites people at this time. God gave them everything that they needed and more, and showed himself to this generation more than any generation in the lifetime, of all lifetimes. This generation saw God move, yet they kept wanting to go back to Egypt. They kept wanting to do everything their way. So what happens? They form a new generation. New generation. They have babies. God said, I'm going to take a new group. We're going to get a new group, a younger group. Takes them in. They go into the promised land. But as soon as the leaders got old, the scripture says they began to forget what God has done for them. And then they begin to fall back in to that same old thing. This is why you, on your watch, on your time, you're breathing the air, God give you a heart to pump and a mind to think. You need to make sure you're praying for your family, you're praying for your kids, and you're teaching your kids the right way. Because I'm telling you, if you're into addiction, you're into porn, you're into whatever it is, don't expect, if you're a man, don't expect your kids are going to follow in the same way that you were. You pick up the bottle, they're going to pick up the bottle. The only way it broke in our family was when my father came to Christ, and it changed. Because my family is an alcoholic family. They love the bottle. They love it. The only reason I feel like I'm here is because my father come to Christ, and he was drinking a lot too. You know, the functioning alcoholic that can work and drink. Drink all day, drink all night, go to work, get up every morning, go to work. That's the functioning alcoholic. That's the one in their brain. They think they are in control, but they're not. But it took Jesus Christ to break that just ongoing chain. Same thing with sexual abuse. If Christ is not allowed to intervene, sexual abuse, someone who's sexually abused, many times will sexual abuse someone else. And that just keeps running through the family over and over and over. And people will point a finger at them, but then they forget what they got in their own family. It's so easy to point at somebody else's family and not look at your own family. And so these people struggled with it. But God even did something amazing. He allowed the manna from heaven to come down. I'm telling you, this is bread that angels eat. And they complained about it. That's how rebellious we are as human beings. And then it says in verse 32, despite all this, they kept sinning. All the miracles that God did, they kept sinning and did not believe his wonderful works. You ever heard of the black sheep of the family? Maybe that was you. Maybe you call yourself the black sheep of the family. Maybe somebody says, hey, you're the black sheep of the family. Basically, you're the one that's the rebellious one. You're the one that gets in trouble. Sometimes it can seem like a family is a whole bunch of black sheep of the family. It's all black sheep, whatever it may be. But what it is here is just people who just do this. Despite of everything going on, they refuse to do it God's way. They refuse. They will not do it God's way. They will not follow Christ. They will not believe, even though they may have been even raised in church. And I will tell you, I fear the individual, especially those who have been raised in church and walk away from God when they stand before God and give an account of the life that they were given. And they were put in a family that had a good believing bloodline for the majority. You have a lot to answer for, and your excuses will not work. They will not work. I'm going to move on here real quick. It says in verse 34. When he had killed some of them and the rest began to seek, the rest of them began to seek him. This is what happens. When punishment comes down, people begin to turn and begin to seek him. Now, when I read that, when he killed some of them, God allowed some of them to die because they were very rebellious. This is where people say God hates people. No, he doesn't. God loves people. God loves people. We've got to quit thinking this world is ours. Quit thinking like that. Quit thinking that your life is yours. It belongs to the Lord. The Lord has created mankind. This is his world. And there are reasons, and I don't understand all the reasons, but I have read this. All you got to go back is read Exodus a lot. Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. You'll find out how rebellious people can really be. And so some of them began to seek him. And they repented and searched for God. Sounds good, right? And they remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their hearts were insincere toward him, and they were unfaithful to his covenant. Basically, it's lip service. They repented only not to be in trouble. They repented with their mouths, but their hearts didn't change. But what about God? Yet he was compassionate. He atoned for their guilt and did not destroy them. He often turned his anger aside and did not unleash all his wrath. He remembered that they were only flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in his heart. They constantly tested God and provoked the Holy One of Israel. Basically, these were just unruly, like unruly children that just really, like the Lord didn't have too many happy days with them. It was just a constant pain of raising these children. They continue wanted to rebel against God. Then when they get in trouble, they give some lip service. I make some promises, and it lasts about as far as their words come off of their lips. But Scripture says God had compassion. Praise God for that. I want to share a couple of things on how we can do better with our families today. I don't want to follow in these people's footsteps, not that part of their lives, I don't. Number one, I think we need to pray for our children. I think we need to pray for our children. If you don't have children, and you need to pray for other children. You need to pray. There's always a place to pray for children. Because I want to remind you, not every child has a praying parent. Not every child has someone praying for them. So children need to be prayed for. Number two, we need to teach the children, we need to teach our children the Scriptures, the Bible. The Bible doesn't change, but culture may change, but the Bible doesn't change. If you want something solid in your life that's real every time you get up, that's true, it's the Word of God. Culture is going to change 3, 5, 10 years from now. Even the things that they might say is okay today may not be okay later. Or what's not okay today, they're going to make it okay later. But when you get the Word of God, you know it's solid. What you're teaching them today is going to be worth something 50 years from now. Because God's Word is solid. Number three, you need to bring your children to worship. That's not an option. I don't let my kids. That's not an option. I am responsible. I am spiritually responsible for my children. As long as they're in my home, I'm responsible. They come to age accountability. They come adult. They go out. They're on their own. But I'm still going to be a father that's going to impress on that. I'm still going to be one that's going to hopefully let me speak into their lives. But we need to get our children into worship. Because that's the problem, I think, today. A lot of children are given all these options to do whatever they want to do. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you're like me and if you had those options that the kids have options today, I'd been in a lot more trouble. Because I'd have been picking things that probably were not the best things. Right? And especially if your children have cell phones at a young age. There ain't no lock code. Children don't get no lock code. Let me just share this with you. Why is it that a year and a half ago? Somewhere in there. Anyway. They asked me to go to Fort Wayne to a counseling center. I don't have a counseling degree, but I went to a counseling center to speak to boys at the age of 12 to 17 that all had a pornography addiction. The hardest room I think I ever sat in. About 15 boys could not, and we had a very graphic conversation. And it was amazing how deep they went into this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, when you get an image and it affects you, it's imprinted in your memory. You cannot get it out, and it can haunt you forever. And what some of these boys got into, because they got cell phones. I kept asking, what age did you get a cell phone? 8. What age did you get a cell phone? 7. What age did you get a cell phone? 10, 12. I didn't get a cell phone, but I borrowed everybody else's. Even though I didn't have one, I was still looking at everybody else's. There's no codes. Don't let your kids have codes. Passwords to get on your cell phone. Take the phone. Look at it. Take the computer. Look at it. Skim through the history. Number four. Share with children what the Lord has done for the family, past and present. Okay? Share those testimonies. Let them know that God's alive and real in God's word as you share it, but also in your life. In your life. Pray with your children. Ask them to pray for you. Number five, pray for your children to marry a believer. Pray for your children to marry a believer. If not, you're going to have problems. It's already marriage is tough. Two people coming together, all love and love until, you know what? But really, two individuals want everything their way, individually. And you get arguments and fusses. It's part of life because we're sinful people. Can you imagine Adam and Eve? There was a moment where they never had an argument because they had no sin. It was perfect. Perfect bliss. Perfect. Sin came in. Things changed. Pray for your children to marry a believer. Because I want to remind you that sometimes marriage needs more than love to make it through. You need the Spirit of God. Cool your jets. For us men, sometimes to say we're sorry. For women, sometimes to say, the wives sometimes say, I apologize too. Pride can be on both sides. But I want to remind you that, man, without Jesus, we'd have a lot more divorce. Praise God for the Lord. And you want your children not to go through divorce and those things, and things happen, but you want your children to go through. You got to pray that your child is going to marry a believer. So if you don't bring them into worship and you don't teach them God's way, they're not going to. The choosing a believer is not important to them, right? And if you're single and you're an adult, you need to pray, Lord, I'm lonely, because you can be lonely as an adult. You can be lonely whether you lost someone or you're just single, and you can say, Lord, I'm lonely. I want a companion. I want a wife. I want a husband. And basically, you pray, Lord, bring a believer into my life. I want to do it your way. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you call out to God, I want to do it your way. I'm telling you, God moves. Number six, share the setbacks of sin in your family. I'm not afraid to say, boys, alcohol runs in my family. Be careful. I'm not afraid to say that. I want to say that. Share some of the things in the family when it's appropriate, age appropriate. You know what I'm saying? So, but you need to share some things with your family, knowing with your children. You need to let them know that there is some things and that there's some things that has happened in the family, so those doesn't get repeated. We all talk about, well, we've seen the movie The Godfather, maybe. You're my age, you've seen it. It's one of the big hype movies, The Godfather. You're kind of like a godfather in your family, guys. If you are, you're the patriarch of your family. You are the leader, you are the spiritual leader of your family. And if you think about that that way, then a lot of responsibility comes on you, on your watch. Until you breathe your last, some of you are going to be the leader of your family. When your father passes away or someone passes away, then you know, that's passed on. So you may not be the leader of the whole family, like all the families, but right now, when you get married, and you get to, you are a spirit, you start small with being the spiritual leader of that unit, that family. Be a good one. Because grandpas and dads are not going to be around forever, and then you're going to step up to the plate. And if you don't share the things of God to that generation, you're not just talking about your children, but also, you know, your nieces and your nephews, your grandkids. Sometimes they're going to come to you and say, hey, I want some money. I need a car. Grandpa passed away. Grandma passed away. What am I going to get? If you share with them the things of God when they're young, those types of attitudes are not as strong. It's more on the spiritual side, because you planted a lot of good biblical seeds in them. So we share the setbacks of our family, and we share those things. Even criminal activities. Someone went to prison. Another family member went to prison. Another member went to prison. There's a problem, right? Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody, families don't want to talk about it. It's a sin problem. If there's a sin problem, the spiritual leader of the home needs to be dealing with that and sharing that this is not what we want. Does it make you better? We still love our family members that don't do what they should be doing. But our children need to be warned. Okay? Number 7, children are watching you. They are the biggest recorders of all time. They eavesdrop on conversations. They watch things they shouldn't watch. They listen to conversations they shouldn't listen to. But the biggest piece is they're watching how you live your life. And if you speak different than how you live, they know you are a fraud. They don't even know what the word fraud means. They might use the word fake. They may not even say it, but they know it here, and they know it here. Basically, you talk lip service. So we need to be living right. You know, I go outside, and I walk the neighborhood from time to time, and it's amazing to me when I hear this little arguing a couple weeks ago out by a car in someone's front of their home. And everybody was outside, and it must have been the mother because she grabbed an arm and pulling. She drops the F-bomb a few times. Well, the kid drops a big F-bomb right back. Then she gets mad at him for saying it. I'm sure you all been there. What is that child really thinking? You say it. Why can't I say it? You're using. Why can't I use? And unbelievably, I met people where the parents and the children used together. Or the alcoholic. Come on, son, you're a man now. Let's go out and get a drink. What he's really saying is following my footsteps. And then get mad because he gets a DUI on his graduation day. Children are watching. We need to be a good example. And the last one I want to share with you is you have a responsibility to talk to your children about Jesus. You got to pass it on and tell them they need to pass it on to their children. This is why we have so many problems in the churches today. So many problems because we're not doing parenting and family in a biblical way. Do you know that you go back to the book of Genesis, you can read all about family problems? Cain kills his brother Abel. Adam and Eve do all that deceiving stuff, and they hide from God. Joseph's got some brothers that did, they were jealous and that. A lot of jealousy in families. Listen, if you struggle with jealousy and you see your daughter or your son struggled with jealousy, you need to take a look back and look at that and say, listen, that looks like a problematic problem in our family. How do we deal with it? We deal with it very simply by talking to Christ about it, getting right with God, laying out the sins of the family in the front. Lay them out. Don't hide it. Put it out in the front. Ask God to intervene in this front. Lord, we have a problem in our family, and this is it. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about me. Lord, I got some issues in my life, and I may not see them all, but I know you do. Will you reveal them to me so that I can repent of them and we can talk about that? Because I want to be a better man. I want to be a better spiritual leader for my family. And then we've got some things I want to talk about. And then you go and you work that out with the Lord, and then you start talking about, but Lord, there's also beyond me, there's some junk in our family, some sin in our family, and I want to talk about that. Anytime I've seen people get their lives right with Jesus, they had to talk about their junk. It had to be revealed, whether it was at the woman at the well or the adulterous woman or whoever it was. Their stuff, their junk was always in the front. And Jesus did a pretty good job with every one of them. I have a family. My kids are all out. But something happens when your kids go out of the home. They get married, and then they have babies, and it makes you a grandparent, and you love that. And then you get older, you start picking up some gray hair here and there. And there comes a time when your time on earth is done, and then you're in a, they put you in a grave with a stone on it, but your spirit is with the Lord if you know the Lord, amen? But I don't want to look back and go, I wish I would have been done better with my family. I need to deal with my family stuff. I think if David would have took care of the family with the rape and incest in his own family, it wouldn't have turned maybe out so bad, wouldn't have turned out so bad for him. If you hide it in the closet, you know what it does in the closet? It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it busts the doors open. Because sin will always grow. If not dealt with, it will grow. Fathers, we take a time here.